morning might sour your name. Is a shelter like no other, your name. Let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name. Jesus, in your name we pray. Come and fill our hearts today. Lord, give us strength to live for you and glorify your name. 'Cause your name is a strong and mighty tower, your name. Is a shelter like no other, your name. Let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save like your name. It's a strong and mighty tower, your name. Is a shelter like no other, your name. Let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name. Jesus, in your name we pray. Come and fill our hearts today. Lord, give us strength to live for you and glorify your name. 'Cause your name is a strong and mighty tower, your name. Is a shelter like no other, your name. Let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save like your name. It's a strong and mighty tower, your name. It's a shelter like no other, your name. Let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name. 'Cause nothing has the power to save but your name. Jesus, in your name we pray. Come and fill our hearts today. Lord, give us strength to live for you and glorify your name. 'Cause your name is a strong and mighty tower, your name. It's a shelter like no other, your name. Let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name. It's a strong and mighty tower, your name. It's a shelter like no other, your name. Let the nations sing it louder, Cause nothing has the power to save but your name. Cause nothing has the power to save but your name. Praise Jesus. Praise God. Oh, I'm so thankful for that name. The name above all names. The name above all names. Above sickness, above disease, above affliction, above stress, above worry, above fear, is the name above all names. Oh, hallelujah. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up and be a fool. You are my all in all. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up and be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Lamb of God, worthy is your name, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
Hallelujah. Don't you adore the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Amen. What a mighty God He is. He is always mindful of us. Can you imagine how loving Jesus was on the earth toward His sheep? He was always willing to reach out to those who other people wouldn't even look at, you know, and give them of His time because of His compassion. And now, as He's on the right hand of the Father, He's looking at us and He sees us in love. You know, the love that He looks at us through is the image that God sees us by. Because Jesus, He applies, as we call on Him, that blood to our life. And that blood is the liquid love of God. And I've never had the privilege, but I've heard of people who've had visitations with the Lord and they've actually been able to see like a pre-incarnate Christ. You know, not the glory of Christ, but like a pre-incarnate Christ. And they said if you're able to look in His eyes, that those eyes will just fill you with love. And tonight, we've got people that we love and our heart is always mindful of, that we want them to be able to see those eyes, that love, amen? And so when we talk to the Lord about them and we hold them up, He's doing everything He can to cause that reflection to come into their heart, amen? I believe that. But at the same time, we've got to be very cautious and not to lose our point in history where we're at, and not to lose the revelation that all down through the church ages there's been times where the church has grown cold and they've let things, other things creep in and get their attention and get their mind off of what God would have. And even those who were in a place where they saw great works and moves of God, they lost that intimacy, and they lost that fire. And so we got to be very cautious about that. Amen? And so let's talk about that a little bit tonight, if you would. Open up your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 17. And we'll start reading here about verse number 20. But I want us to recognize and understand that if we linger about the things of God, there's going to be people lost. Like Brother Donnie said this morning in Sunday school class, you know, let's don't just talk about it. Let's figure out what to do and let's do it. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to, everything that we're wanting to do, we need a mandate from heaven because we don't want to do it on our own because it'll fail. But at the same time, we got to know that we can't linger. That there's a devil out there and he has the world, but he wants to get the people on the fringes. And he'd rather do that playing church than he had playing devil. So let's think about that and let's look at these verses of Scripture. Starting at verse number 20, Luke 17 and 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he, Jesus, answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, not ocular evidence, amen? Neither," and then he makes this statement. He said, "Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." Say, that's me. And he said unto his disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For it is the lightning that lighteth out of one part under heaven and shineth under the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. Everybody's going to see it. Amen? For as lightning that lighteth out of one part under heaven shineth under the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. Now notice, this is where he gets us into the time frame. And as it was in the days of Noah, in the Greek, Noah in the Old Testament, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day, even thus shall it be in the day, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away, and he that is in the field, let him not return, likewise not return back. Now here's our thought tonight. Highlight in your mind's eye, verse number 32, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Brother Donnie, would you pray? Yes, Lord. Yes. Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Donnie. Thank you for honoring the Word of God. Now, with upraised hand, how many believe the Lord's coming back? Amen. How many believe He's coming back in a time expected? People are expecting Him, are not really looking for Him. Because they're, you know, these people who says, remember it hadn't been too long, in 2012, we had a guy who said, the Lord is coming back on blank, 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 2012. And that had been the third time in his life he had made that statement. And so we know that when some man names a time frame, because Jesus, what did he say? He said, no man knoweth the day or the hour. He said, but my Father which is in heaven. Amen. And so tonight as you and I are thinking about everybody that we know and we love that are out of the will of God, out of the plan of God, we need to recognize and stir ourselves that just as it was in the days of Noah, just as it was in the days of Lot, people were all busy about life, doing what they wanted to do, when they wanted to do it, the way they wanted to do it, and all of a sudden, that's when judgment came. That's when revelation came. But we become so immune to the reality of what is going to happen because all we're caught up in is how bad things are or how good things are going to be. If you notice, you've got two camps in the world. And one camp is, oh, things are so bad, but they're going to get worse. Then you got another camp, well, things are good. They've never been this good, and they're going to keep on being good. We know the Word of God divides that line, and that's neither right nor wrong. There's a middle ground to everything. And so I want us tonight to talk about some things. Sister Tori, would you put Matthew 24:44 up on the screen? Matthew 24:44. Boy, she does a good job, don't she? She's my right hand, and I appreciate her so much. Notice, this is Jesus' teaching. He says, therefore be you also ready. Now, that word ready, it means to be fit. It means to be adjusted. It means instant, in season. instant out of season. Amen? Be ye therefore ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. So, when everybody starts looking at other things, and that's what's fixing to happen. We've had people preach about the coming of the Lord and preach about the coming of the Lord, and they preached about it so long that they've rocked the church to sleep. Because now if you try to talk to somebody about the coming of the Lord that isn't in a close fellowship with the Lord, they'll say, I've heard that all my life. And the devil loves that. He loves that because he knows he's getting people in a place where he can surprise them, because the devil always manifests himself before Jesus does. Amen? He gets people in a strong delusion. He gets people to believe a lie. He gets people in a place and a position where they're willing to accept a counterfeit, a substitute, rather than accept the Lord himself. Now, in I think it's Luke 12:40, Jesus makes a statement very similar. So we've got two witnesses. We've got two different gospel writers that have penned down the words of Jesus at two different occasions. They're not quoting from the same occasion. He says, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when you think not. Now the Bible talks about an hour of temptation. An hour of temptation. And in that hour of temptation, it is an hour that Jesus said that was going to be so seductive that if it were possible, the very elect would be what? They'd be seduced. So, you and I have got to be on guard, and we've got to be in a place and a situation that it doesn't matter what's happening with our family, what's happening with us? What's happening with us? That's why Jesus said, I want you to remember Lot's wife. Now, Peter wrote, and he made this statement in 2 Peter chapter 2 somewhere, down about verse 9, maybe, I don't know for sure, but he made this statement about Lot. He said, Lot was a righteous man. A righteous man, but he was vexed daily because of his decisions. And you and I, we've all made bad decisions. But we can have the Lord to help us make a change in those decisions and do what God would have us to do. But I want us to concentrate on the reality that Jesus, out of all the things he could have said, now this is a powerful statement. Jesus could have said, remember my servant David. He could have said, remember how Goliath fell. He could have talked about, remember the faith of my son Abraham. He didn't do any of that. He could have talked about all the great faith walkers. But he makes one statement, and he commands you. The word remember means to rehearse over and over and over, to exercise your memory, to exercise my memory, to let people know that Jesus, when he's talking about his coming, that we need to talk about Lot's wife. See, it doesn't matter about association with people. It matters about association with the Lord. It matters about relationship. So many people today are in the church building, but they're not in the church. There's going to be a great group of people that are going to be so surprised when they're not changed in a moment, when they're not changed in a twinkling of an eye, when they're not changed at the breath of life. That's the true cloud. Amen. The breath of life. When that doesn't happen, because they're not in a place, in a position, they have not been born again. They've not been born. They've been assimilated in. You know when you got, can I see your hand? You know when you got born again. I mean, there was a change. Something happened. There was a spark that come down in your spirit. And that weight of sin, Jesus took it off. And you know it's real. And so we've got to help people. We want people to feel comfortable. But we want them to do one of two things. We want them to either get up and come to the altar or go out the door. Now, I don't get upset when people get up and walk out, because I want them to be in the place, in a position where they can't sit in their seat. Either come to the front or go out. Because as long as that's happening, guess what? We know God is working and His Spirit is dealing with them. So don't be sad. Don't be discouraged. Rejoice, because your God is hearing your prayer and He's doing something. But let's look at some things I think that will help us. Now, notice what he said. He said in verse number 28, he said, likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. Now notice, they do these six things. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. They've done six things. There's nothing wrong with those six things. Amen? You and I, we've got to do those six things in this life. There's only one thing that's wrong. There's one thing that's not listed. Matthew 6:33, Sister Victoria. There's only one thing that's not listed, and it should be the very first thing. What did Jesus say? But seek you first the kingdom of God. Right? That's the first thing. And he said, these things, all of the things that they were seeking after, that they were tolling, working in themselves, he said, they'll be added to your life. We've got to put Jesus first. That means He decides everything about our life. When we call Him Lord, then He is that. He's Kyrios. He's supreme in authority. He wants to tell you and I everything about our life. And if I am not submitted to Him in a certain area, He's not the Lord of my life in that area. Amen? And if He's not the Lord of my life, the promises, the blessings, the protection cannot be in fruition in that area. And so we see this situation here. We see Lot's wife. Now I want you to think about Lot's wife. She was raised up and grew up, matured up, right there as Lot was walking side by side Abraham, the father of faith. And no doubt that just like you and I, with our family, we have dinner. We have times of visitation. We have times of talking. And we share with each other what the Lord has done and is doing. No doubt, this went on. And so she is in the very presence of the God that is working in Abram to make him Abraham, and Sarai to make her Sarah. And that's why Jesus says you have to remember her. You have to remember that she was in that place, in that position. You and I, we have sat in church services with people, and they've heard the word preached. They've heard the word taught. They've raised their hands during song service. But where was their heart? I know, because I've been in church services, my hands might have been the highest in the whole building, and my heart was a long ways away from God. I say that because I want to be honest. We've got to be in a place, in a position where it's not the external, it's the internal. I've also been in church services where I couldn't even worship God because I was so being beat up by the enemy and the devil. But guess what? God was right there receiving me and helping me, even though I wasn't a part of what was going on according to somebody else. Amen? It's not about the external. It's about the heart. So tonight, I want us to be in a place and a position where we see some things here. Now, notice it says what they were doing, but it says, but the very same day that Lot went out of Sodom, there's going to be a day when God's very grace is going to be pulled. There's going to be a day, and people can't fathom, they can't understand that God will judge. But because God is just, He has to judge. He has to bring judgment, because there's too many people. The Bible says that in the book of Revelation, that there's going to be a whole group of people who were slain for the Lord. They were beheaded for the Lord, and their cries is going to be going out to God. To this day, you realize that the Bible says that Abel's blood is crying out to a holy God. All the way from Genesis chapter 4 until now, these 6,000 years, his blood is crying for God to bring judgment. So God's faithful. He's going to honor and He's going to do what He's going to do. But we've got to do like Jesus said. Remember Lot's wife. We can allow our situations, our circumstances, our family, our possessions to get our mind off of Jesus, and we can miss the best thing that we got going for us. That's the eternity. Amen? Hold your place here, and let's go to the book of Ezekiel, and let's see what the sins of Sodom were. Because those help define when he says, remember Lot's wife. Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. Look at verse number 48. Ezekiel 16:48. As I live, saith the Lord, Sodom thy sister hath not done, nor she nor her sisters as thou hast done, and as thy daughters. Now here he's liking Judah and Israel to Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's very important, because if he likened Israel and Judah to that and he judged them, then that means that America will be judged in like manner. Amen? Verse 49. Behold, there was, look at these, he lists them all out for us. There's seven of them, the best I can count. There was iniquity, number one, of thy sister Sodom. Pride, number two. Fullness of bread, number three. Abundance of idleness, number four, was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she, number five, strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Verse 50. And they were, number six, haughty. And number seven, committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. Now, as in the days of Noah, the evil got took away. Noah was protected in the ark, him and his family, those eight souls and two of every flesh was protected in that ark. Amen. Jesus Christ is your ark. He's your protection. And he is your covering. He's my covering. When he made the ark, they covered it. And the word that where they talk about, they pitched it with asphalt. That word there is the word for atonement. Come on, that's all over you and I. Amen? That's our protection. Nothing can get to you. When the floodwaters come, it didn't touch Noah and his family. When the flood comes, it's not going to touch you and I. Amen? But we've got to tell people, you need to remember, what has been will be again. History repeats itself for us to learn from it, and where we can place a time frame. No man knoweth the day or the hour, but we know that we're getting in a time frame where God is going to do some things. Amen? Now notice, these six sins, as bad as they were, but when they added it with the seven, it became an abomination. Do you see these six sins today? They're here. Not only are they here, they're accepted and they're celebrated. Celebrated. Now we want to talk about one particular sin, but notice God didn't name that to last. He is more interested in what? He said, talked about iniquity. That's sin that's over and over and over. I know I've been bound in iniquity, and I've wallowed in it, and I've done it over and over and over. But there's grace to take care of it, amen? There's power to get out of it. But all of these, he dealt with that and pride. That's the first two things that he dealt with. But yet, when this is preached, if we're not careful, we preach about one thing, because it's the one thing that everybody used to have something against, and it's the one thing that would bring condemnation on people. But God is talking about all of these things because he loves everybody, and he wants to pull everybody out of those things that would separate them from him. Amen? And so when God says through Jesus, by the Spirit, remember Lot's wife, we've got to see and understand Lot and his wife. The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis chapter 19, that Lot sat at the gate. Amen? That means he was in a place and a position of authority. The Bible says he's a righteous man. And he's in a place and a position of authority. Why is he in a place and a position of authority? Because in Genesis chapter 14, when he was there, these cities got took captive. And what did Abraham do? And his name was Abram at the time. What did he do? He took 318 men, and they went and they whooped the whole bunch. And he brought Lot and his wife out and returned them. And when he returned them, the kings were so excited that they wanted to bestow all of these riches on Abram. And Abram said, I won't take one earring from you, because you're not going to be able to tell anybody that you made me rich, because my God, amen, is making me rich. But, you know, you can do with it what you will. And they gave some to some servants. But the point being, since Lot was Abram's nephew, then he moved right into the place of authority. And he had this position of authority, but yet in the years that he was there, and the years that his wife was there, they didn't change anything. That's why Brother Donnie said what he said this morning in Sunday school class. What are we changing? God has changed us for a reason. He's done a work in us for a reason. And he wants us to know that the same change that he has made in us, he can use us, anoint us, to be able to bring that change to somebody else. We can't be complacent. We can't blend in. God called you to stand out. He wants you to stand up and stand out in his power for his glory. You're special. You have went through everything you went through is because the devil tried to put his mark on you. But God said, uh-uh, that's my child. I've got a plan from the foundation of the world, and they're going to do what I call them to do. And your light, the light of the Lord in you, is going to shine brighter than it's ever shined. And people are going to what? They're going to remember. They're going to remember. They're not going to be complacent. They're going to be pulled out of sin, out of iniquity, out of all of these things. And they're going to be shown a reality of fellowship. They're going to be shown intimacy of Jesus Christ. Amen? I believe that with all of my heart. But we've got to put it to practice. Now go with me. Let's look at just a little bit of this in Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. The depravity was there because of sin, but God knew his people. God knows you. He knows where you're at. He knows that you're being vexed by sin. He knows that the evil's all around you, and God's going to take care of you. Amen? And he'll do whatever you need to be done in your life for you to be protected. But I want you just to see just a little bit here. Notice, in verse number 12, that the angels, they said unto Lot, I know it says men, but it's God's angels, they said unto Lot, has thou any here besides son-in-law, now mark that down, thy sons and thy daughters? Whatsoever thou hast in this city, bring them out of this place. Bring them out. Bring them out. Bring them out of this place. And that's the call on our life tonight. We got to remember Lot's wife. We got to remember that she had lost her influence, that Lot had lost his influence. And we got to remember that we're in this situation to bring people out. And God uses the Old Testament to foreshadow the reality of what Jesus wants to do in the New Testament. Amen? And we'll look at a scripture in a minute to document this. But I want you to see this. Now, notice what he said, verse 13. For we will destroy this place. We will destroy this place. Psalms 9 and 17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell. It doesn't say they're going to hell. It says the wicked shall be turned into hell. Amen? So this is how serious it is. It's not a destination. It's a reality. Amen? Now notice what he says. We will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters. And he said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. So let's think about this. Lot, the Bible says, is a righteous man, but he was vexed day in and day out. But he was vexed to the point that he lost his testimony. He lost his influence. Tonight, when I am around each one of you, I am influenced in a positive way. I am influenced by the Spirit of God in you. I am influenced by where you've come and where you're going. Amen? It touches me. It impacts me. It empowers me to have hope to believe for more. Amen? And I want us to get a grasp on that reality that every time you come around me, I'll testify about it. Brother Donnie, every time he leads testimony service, he testifies about it. It's the truth. And if it's around us, how much more is it going to be around people who don't know the influence of God like church people, quote unquote, know? Amen? The anointing will be even greater. The reality will be even more powerful. The light in reality will be brighter because they're in a darker place. Amen? All right. So let's think about this. Now, we won't do the math, but notice he said son-in-law and sons and daughters. And then the next verse, he talked about in verse 14, he talked about him again. And you add all these together, and you've got more than 10 people. Because, you know, verse number 32 of chapter 18, Abram is talking to the Lord, and he said, O Lord, be not angry. I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there in these cities. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And we know the story. Abram, he bargained with God. He went all the way from 50 down to 10 because he knew how many people was in Lot's family. And he knew that Lot's household was saved. In his heart. But they weren't. Remember Lot's wife. Now, I'm not blaming Lot's wife. And I know the Bible says that Lot was righteous. But you and I, we have got to influence our spouse in a positive manner. We've got to influence our children, our parents, in a positive manner. The devil wants to cut us off. Come on, we've all got relationships right now that are not where they should be. It's not our fault. It's because the devil doesn't want you and I around those people. Because when we get around those people, there's power. There's life-changing possibility. And so I want us to be in the place and the position where we can do what God would have us to do. I don't want to be in this place as Lot was, where they said, but he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Now it says, and when the morning arose, that the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, verse 15, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here. So see, we've got daughters that are not there because they're married. We've got the virgin daughters that are here. So this is how you add up to the people, the number of people he had in his family. But notice this, in verse number 16, this is why I said we can linger and be lost if we're not careful. Verse 16, and while Lot lingered, the men laid hold upon him, the angels laid a hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. Now, I don't know about you. I know that I've got a lot of issues in my life that I need to work on and I'm working on, but if two angels come to me and said, you better get out of here, I pray to God that I would take heed. Maybe, I'm not judging, I'm just saying, but I don't understand. What I'm saying is there's a place where we can get where the supernatural becomes normal. Where the Spirit of God is, oh well. We've got to keep it fresh. Amen? And it's not God's doing, it's our doing. And it came to pass, now notice they said I'm without the city. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he, Lot, said, escape for thy life, and look not, this angel said it, I'm sorry, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all that plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh not so, my Lord. How many times have we done that? We argue with God sometimes. God says, I want you to do this. And you say, well, can I do that? Do y'all not have those conversations? I do. But there's a time when we can't get by with that. Amen? I know this is hard, but it's truth. Amen? Behold, now thy servant, verse 19, hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I can escape to the mountains, lest some evil take me and I die. There's a reason why he didn't want to go to the mountain, and if you study that out, I understand why he didn't want to go, but sometimes we need to go in the midst of where the enemy's at to be in the middle of God's will. And we'll talk about this sometime if you want to talk about it. Verse number 20. Behold, the city is near to flee unto, and this is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Amen? Just a little city, little Zoar. You know, it won't amount to much. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, and I will not overthrow this city for which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou come thither. Therefore the name of this city was called Zoar, or Little. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Now think about this. The sun was risen, the dawning of a new day. And the Lord rains upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. Verse 26, and this is why we came here. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Remember Lot's wife. Now, in this journey with the Lord, whether we can see it or understand it or not, you and I are to walk side by side in the Lord. If we're not careful, we put people that we think are to be out in front, out in front. Now, this means so much more than what we're reading. She's following her husband. The Bible says he's righteous, but he's lost his testimony. He's lost his light. He's lost the power. But she's following him. And because she has followed him and maybe not joined up with him side by side, there's power in two. Can two walk together except they be agreed? There's power in numbers. You and I, we need each other, but we need to walk side by side, hand in hand with Jesus Christ. Amen? And that way, if I start pulling back just a little bit, you help me. You pull me forward. You say, boy, refocus. Come on, step high, step hard. Look where we're going. Get your eyes where they're supposed to be. Amen? Looking unto the author and the finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. We've got to look at the right things. Amen? Luke 9 and 62, Jesus makes this statement. He says, any man, any woman, any boy, any girl putting their hand to the plow, don't look back. Because if you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. Amen? So here we are. This destruction is going on behind her. She's not side by side with her husband, but she's following him. She needs to be side with her husband, following Jesus. Amen? And instead of looking and thanking the Lord that her husband and her two virgin daughters are coming out of there to life, she's looking back at what she's left. Now, I know it's going to be hard. I know that she's got family there. She's got friends there. She's got all of those possessions there. But judgment was going to come. He said, don't look back. You and I, we get messed up when we look back. Don't look back at the sin that used to be in your life. Don't look back at what used to hurt you. Don't look back at what used to control you. Don't look back to what used to dominate you. Because if you and I, if we look back, it'll get a hold of us and it'll pull us right back. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22, Peter talks about what? He talks about the pig going back to the wallah. He talks about the dog going back to the vomit. Why? Because that is what the flesh is. That's what the flesh will do. You and I cannot walk in the flesh. We got to walk by the Spirit in the reality of who we are. Amen? All right, just a couple more verses and I'll let you go. Let's look at what he said. Now, he said, I want you to come out from that situation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You know these verses of Scripture very well, but look at verse number 17. It's no different today in the New Testament than it is in the Old. He says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. I want to be separate, don't you? I don't want to smell like the world. I don't want to taste like the world. I don't want to look like the world. I want to look different. And that looking different isn't in our dress. It's in the glow coming from the inside of you of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Glory. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Now notice this. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Oh, glory. Remember Lot's wife. Come out from among them. You can't do what other people do. There was a time in your life you could. There was a time in my life that I could. But now it's time for us to grow up. It's time for us to light up. And it's a time for us to stand up and be what God has called us to be. Amen? Three more verses. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15, 16, I think, and 17. Are y'all bored? Y'all feel quiet. Verse number 15. Here's the admonition to us tonight. 1 John 2:15, love not the world. Well, now, wait a minute. For God so loved the world. Different word. Love not the world. Love not the worldly system. Amen? The worldly system is the devil's system. You and I are not under the devil's system. You realize if you were under the devil Babylon system, you'd have to depend upon your check. But your check is not your source. Amen? God uses your check, but your source is God. God can take your check and He can stretch it. He can multiply it. He can add to it. He can do whatever needs to be done, like Brother Dan was testifying this morning in Sunday school class. Amen? That's our God. So, we're not under this system. But he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man, any woman, any boy, any girl, love the world, notice this, the love of the Father is not in him. Why? It's replaced it. Did you see what Brother Dan said this morning? He said, I wanted to go to work, and I thought about going to work, but I remembered what God done for me, and I decided I wanted to put him first. I remember he'd come to church a few times and he'd shared and had prayer that he was having financial trouble because the job was in him. The job was his source. But all of a sudden, he repented of that and he said, God, you're my source. And he sowed a seed into the Lord and now the Lord blessed him. Amen? That's powerful. that touches him, and that's going to help him, and that's going to help all of us because we heard it. Amen? So I don't want the world in here. I want the truth of the love of God, which is Jesus. That's the love of God. Amen? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of prodigy, offspring, but it is of the world. Well, what's going to happen to it? Verse 17. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he or she that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know what that word forever there means from the Greek? Unbroken. It means from the beginning, and there's no end. Unbroken, fully destined from the very moment of creation, you have the abundant life that Jesus promised you. Amen? Okay. So what I want us to take home with us tonight is that if we're not careful, we can look back. We can let the hurt of other people, where they're at, pull us back. But we've got to be strong and not let that pull us back, but let us be resolute in our calling, resolute in the reality of relationship to pull them forward. Amen? So I know it hurts. We've all got family and we've all got friends, and we don't understand why they make the decisions they make. But we can't let that get us down. Rather, we've got to just let it enable us to let Jesus shine brighter in us and through us. Amen? We're going to remember. We're going to rehearse. And we're going to talk within earshot of those people that God places around us, how much God loves them, but how much God wants to bring them out. We need to talk about the time. Amen? Do like Jesus said. Talk about where we're at. People are going to be so busy. You know, all we can talk about is what we know. And I know I've talked about this before, but I want to end with this thought. Tell of two people. Michelle was staying with my dad and helping him, helping us help him. But then one morning, it was Judgment Day. One morning, there was one last heartbeat. We live like we're going to live forever. And we think, I'll do this or I'll do that someday. But Jesus said, what you can do, do now. Put your hand to it now. I find it so ironic that the two of the men that have played such an important role in my life, my dad and my grandpa, both of them dying of a heart attack, but two different completely situations. One full of years, and one that shortened his own life. Just 6 weeks apart. But judgment came. And what you and I want to do, we want to live in a reality of love that is so strong that it doesn't bring condemnation. But it brings people to a place where they say, I want to know how you have peace. I want to know. I want to understand how you just know that it's going to be all right when there's no way it should be all right. I'll never forget. Kata was just a baby. I believe she was about 15 months old, 16 months old, something like that, when Bob, my dad's mom, died of cancer. And very hard time on his sisters. Of course, he never showed any emotion, so you didn't know what he was thinking. But that whole day during that I was with him, is a rainy, cold November day. I kept trying to get the freedom, the liberty to tell him that I loved him. Because I never told him that, and he never told me that. I wanted to so desperate. And we went to the restroom there in the funeral home together. And I had it all planned out what I was going to say. And somebody messed it up. And I never got to do that. We can't have any regrets. We've got to tell people what's right, what's wrong, but we tell them, like the Bible says, speak the truth in love. And if we'll speak the truth in love, it'll have an impact. It'll have a change. One other thing, real quickly. Brother Donnie helped me with this. In 1999, there was a man that was married to Raymond's sister. His name was Bud. And he'd always helped me and Raymond work on the trucks and do different things. And every time I'd try to talk to him and Raymond about the Lord, him and Raymond would always gang up on me, you know, and they'd always say, "Now, when you're dead, you're like a dog. You're dead. You're going to go to the ground and rot. That's it. You better enjoy life while you got a chance." And I tried, and I tell them that that wasn't right. And anyway, I got a phone call, and I heard that Bud had had a heart attack and died. And I lost it. I couldn't stand it. I called Donnie. You remember that? I couldn't stand the thought of him being in hell. But this is how good God is. Before he had the heart attack, he had broke his ankle. He was on dialysis, and he broke his ankle while he was taking dialysis. And they put him in a room at the hospital, and there was a young preacher. His church is over there on that cut-through road by the highway department. You know, like you want to cut through from 7 and go over to 124. He got to come in there, and he come in there every day for a few days. And he got to lead Bud to the Lord. But see, I didn't know this. We went to the funeral, and I didn't know this, and I'm just barely holding it together. And he preaches Bud in heaven. And I didn't know this, and I'm mad. I am one, because I'm thinking you're giving all, because I know all these people, they're all going to hell if God, they don't accept Jesus. And I am upset, and I come up to him. You know, I'm pretty timid, but I come up to him, I said, "Listen, how can you preach him into heaven?" I said, "He's told me for years." And then he got to tell me the story. Just because he went to the hospital. Just because you go to work. Greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. Every person is one heartbeat away from meeting Jesus. But we remember Lot's wife. Amen. We're not going to walk behind Jesus. He didn't call us to walk behind him. He called us to walk beside him. Amen. And we're going to be what he called us to be. Would we come tonight, make us an altar? Let's just all spend some time with the Lord and just let him just stir us up to what he would have us to do. I think it's why it's just us here tonight, because he's wanting to just spend some time with us and maybe impart some revelation, impart some direction, give us some unction of what our next step is in this community. Amen? Would you come?